World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, love my wife. I'm gonna say that. I'm in some place in Tennessee. My wife's home. Just wanted to know her, love her, miss her this morning. We're the salt of the earth, folks. Funny, I kind of found this today. I'm at Clay's house, and Clay's setup's a little bit different. So I keep thinking this thing right here is the camera, but it's the microphone. And so I got to look up there a little bit of salt. We use these a lot. I didn't bring many with me. This is just an old salt package. And I like to give these to people, say, you know what? That's your real job, man. You're the salt of the earth. But I want to show you something else. Thing doesn't work unless you tear it open. Get the salt out of the salt shaker. Got to get out of the church, baby. You got to get out of the church. So we're in some place here in Tennessee, and Mike Blake came down with me, and Gary Pierce came down with me, and of course we met Clay. We're staying at Clay's house, and we're probably going to be here through the day today. And I came down specifically to try to do some. Sounds like a real fancy word, some recognizance. In other words, just kind of go around. Because I've been to a lot of these disasters, and I'm looking for a place where we can settle in and bring groups down here to help and yada, yada, yada. And I've never been to one like this. We drove a lot of miles yesterday, a lot of different places. Normally, when you come in, you see FEMA. It's real organized, and there's everything's set up, and you go here, and you go here, and you go here, and hadn't been any of that at all. I haven't seen FEMA. Now, we haven't been to Asheville. We've been to a couple other little towns, and, that's the way it is through the mountain ranges out through here, a lot of little towns, so maybe that makes it hard for FEMA, although there's a lot of complaints about what FEMA's been doing. But the reality of it is, something's really, really unique down here, is these folks are taking care of themselves. It's different. It's really, really different. And we've seen pockets of little, maybe little churches or some type, I don't know, like in a parking lot out in town, pockets of little people setting up feeding. But it's like they're self-sufficient people. If we get them the supplies, they're going to try to rebuild it themselves. Now, I can't tell you how horrific the destruction, I can tell you. I can't explain to you how horrific the destruction is. And we've again, folks, when you come down into some people call them the Appalachians, some call them the Appalachians. I've always heard it's the Appalachians. So you get down into the Appalachian Mountains, and it's, it's mountains and then valleys and mountains and valleys, and cities are in the valleys, and up on top of the mountain that's where people live, and yada, yada, yada. And the destruction of roads and bridges, and it's pretty amazing. So I thank all of you for helping us come down here. I'm going to try to give you a little bit of an enlightenment to some of the things that I've seen, what we've noticed about what's going on down here. And yes, we will at some point try to get crews down here. But they're going to move very rapidly into, I don't know how they're going to do it, to a reconstruction phase. But Dale, I know Dale's probably out there listening. Those of you who've been to tornadoes and hurricanes, it's always been our experience. Like if we go into a tornado area or whatever, it's just a strip. You understand? Maybe the strip's a mile long, which would be really big, but maybe it's a half mile long, and it just goes for a while, and then the tornado picks up and moves on. Well, it's not like that here. It's not like it's a strip. It's just kind of everywhere. And so the idea of centralized recovery, it's different. People are taking care of themselves. I don't want to belittle that point. I want to understand. I'm going to do a deep dive with you here real quick, okay? And again, I want to thank all of you who've donated. And if you want to give some more money to us, we'll make sure it gets into the hands of people who can use it. We're still working with Cowboy Dave. I got to talk to him this morning. He's He's over in south of Asheville. See, hey, Spencer, real quickly, if you could, I got a map there. Could you pull that map up for me? What number was it there? You'll find it. Wait a minute. I'll get my stuff here. It is, map. It says number five. Folks, I want you to look at this so that you can understand. Spencer, it enlarges. So make it really, really big if you can. Good. And take it back over to where the hurricane is. Yeah, make it a little bit larger. Because to get the magnitude of it. I don't know what you guys can see on your screen. I see right there. That's pretty good, Spencer. There you go. On my screen. So, Florida. Yeah, Florida got hit by the hurricane. But look up above. There's Georgia. Give me a little bit of history lesson there. Georgia. And then South Carolina, then North Carolina, and Tennessee. And the question is, why is all the destruction clear up here in North Carolina and Tennessee? Spencer, can you put a pointer on Tennessee? Because people flunked geography when they were in high school. Tennessee is the orange one right in the middle. You see where Ohio is, and we're just a little bit. How the hell did a hurricane get up to Tennessee? How did a hurricane get up into North Carolina? How did that happen? Knowing, folks, that it came up. So that's a lot of stuff we're going to try to talk about a little bit here today, because it's such a vast, vast area. So we could have gotten our car and we could have driven farther south. We could have gone clear on down into Georgia because there's destruction everywhere. But I said to everybody, why would we drive 100 miles past one disaster area to get to another disaster area? They need help all the way along. There's a good camera, that map. Look, can you point, Spence? Can't do his pointer on that thing. Can you put an arrow on it? That's what I'm asking. Maybe you can't. It doesn't matter. You guys get it. Okay, you get what's going on. So we're in Tennessee, right at the you see the line there, Tennessee and North Carolina border. That's where we are, and we haven't gone clear down into. I feel like I'm talking in circles. We haven't gone deep into North Carolina. We're up at the northern part of Tennessee is where we're working out of. So I'm going to want you to look again, the vast area where that thing's hit. Roger, you're right. There's all kinds of opportunities to help. I'm telling you, friends, everywhere. And this whole place is hills, right? It's all mountains and valleys and mountains and valleys, and the destruction, the running of that water. I got some videos I'm going to show you in a second, but I'm going to call time out real quickly. Mike, come on over here. I want you guys to hear this story. Our buddy Mike Blake's with us. And Mike, we love Mike. Mike's a talent. Come on a little bit closer in here, Mike, if you can. There you go. You know, Mike became a world traveler. He retired and went on vacation. He and Bonnie always wanted to go on vacation. They took off to see the West for 13 weeks?
10 weeks.
10 weeks. Mike was gone for 10 weeks, just got back, and he came up here with us yesterday. But while he was out there, many of you don't know that his wife had a heart attack while they were on the road in a camper. They live in a camp, staying in the camper. Were you in a hotel that night, Mike?
Yeah.
No, they were in a camper. And his wife got up and fell down. And I'm going to let Mike tell a story of really what was a miracle that happened. We all can rejoice that no reason Bonnie Blake ought to be alive. So, Mike, go ahead and tell everybody the Cliff Notes version of what happened there.
All right. We're in a little town called Wall, South Dakota, in a campground. Didn't really understand how far away we were from everything until the event started to unfold. My wife fell down. I was in bed. I heard her. I get up, went to see her, and she was in the hallway of the camper on the floor, unresponsive. I shook her to try to wake her up. She didn't wake up. And so I started doing compressions, and she came back to a little bit. Kind of delirious, whatever. She told me to help her up into the bed, and I proceeded to call 911.
Now, folks, are in the middle of nowhere in a campground.
So I'm on the phone with the 911 operator for 45 minutes before they show up, and it's a volunteer group coming from, I'm not sure where, but they,
some little podunk town, just two people show up in the emergency squad.
And they weren't even EMTs. They were just like first responders. And then they go to, after 45 minutes of waiting, then they try to get the cot out of the emergency squad, and they couldn't get it out. So they had to call somebody else to come help and get the cot out. And so then they tell me that the hospital is 65 miles away, that we're that we're going, that we need to go to. So we get to the hospital, unbeknownst to me, all behind the scenes, they were making phone calls and getting people ready at the hospital to be able to take, do their best thing when, you know, when she got there. And anyway, when we got there, she went right into not surgery, but where they checked for blockage and stuff like that. And they found that one of her arteries was completely blocked, and they put a stent in. And we were in the hospital. They don't keep you in long for that kind of stuff anymore. We was in for a day and a half. And when we was doing the discharge with the doctor, I was thanking him and his staff for, you know, saving Bonnie's life. And I was kind of emotional, and, you know, he looked up, and he pointed and he said, "Don't thank me." And, and he said, "Do me a favor." He looked at Bonnie, he said, don't look up. Then he said, "I've given you all the information, but don't look up, this type of heart attack.
Don't Google it, right? Don't go to the Google and see what,"
for at least a week. So when she did look it up, I don't know what the name of it is, but only 10% of the people that have that heart attack survive. So it was a miracle, and then just being that far away from everything. So then I asked the doctor, "Should I go home? You know, what should I do?" And I said, "I'm ready to go home. I'm scared and everything else." And he said, "Well, the problem's been taken care of. That's kind of up to her what she wants to do." And she said she wanted to carry on. So we were about 3 weeks in at that point, and we packed up and went another 7 weeks. I had a wonderful time and got to visit Jeff now and Chad Estes and
Tuber. They missed you. They didn't know where you were.
And Kay and Randy. Had a wonderful time. So I just want to thank God.
So folks, think the magnitude of that. His wife hits the floor with what is a 10% recovery. Maybe 10% people are going to live with the heart attack she's currently having. And it's 2 hours before they get to the hospital. That's pretty... That's the hand of the Lord, isn't it? I mean, it really is. So thanks for coming, Mike. Mike's always a doer and doesn't complain and always wants to be part of what's going on. So, man, we got something to rejoice there. Hey, can I show you some stuff here? I've been doing some work here. Sorry about my cheesy glasses. I told you I buy dollar store glasses. This one costs $1.25, I think. Just because if I lose them, I lose them. So, and that's the only ones I have them, the black ones. Maybe it makes me look a little more studious today, right? I always make some notes here. I wrote first one, where's FEMA? Where is FEMA? Where are they, folks? This disaster is, I'm going to show you a couple videos here, stuff that's unbelievable. Go, if you will, go to number 6 for me, Spencer, and go to the 9-minute mark. Now, I just found this video this morning. We're going to talk about some weather manipulation, some different stuff like that. But I want you to watch. We stood last night. I tried to make a video, but I couldn't hold a signal very well. We were standing on the bank of the river, and it was about 30 feet from the bank to the water. You know what I'm talking about? It'd be one of the, I keep looking down, I'm sorry. It'd be one of those banks that you'd love to jump off up and do a cannonball. It's up high and then down low. And had to be 40 feet, had to be. And that's where the water came up over that 40-foot mark, if you can believe that, and flooded those homes 40 feet up. It was amazing. And to see how the whole, well, you had to see it to believe it. So I just want to run this by you here real quickly. I think it's the right one. I don't know who made this video, but it's pretty good. And imagine this, friends. Again, people live up in the hills. This is happening up in the mountains as well. The landslides and all that stuff is going on. Go ahead and play that real quick there, Spence.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, we're going to go up in the app. We have to, guys.
We were not warned.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Get in the house.
Just to give you an understanding of the devastation we're dealing with here. Chimney Rock's gone. Flying Bridge's gone. And Road's gone.
Everything on the farm drowned. Couldn't get everything out. We managed to save one horse.
Leaving comments of, oh, why didn't they evacuate? Da, 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 da. I don't think you comprehend how quickly this happened. And these areas have never flooded like this before.
I don't think I've ever seen downtown Boone flood like this. Look at that.
We have one way in and one way out. How are we supposed to flee if and when that bridge goes? It took our bridge. It took our driveway.
The amount of bridges that are out, the amount of landlocked, stranded people is unbelievable. Guys with me that have done it 30 years, and they've never seen anything like this.
It's been an incredibly apocalyptic weekend for all of us here.
The news is not even coming close to catching the true devastation. There are bodies that are floating down the river. Babies.
They literally watched multiple neighbors die. One was hit by a tree. Others were washed away. Literally, the house was floating away with people in it. They are in shock. They are traumatized.
It's not enough. What is being done is not enough.
There's still plenty of people completely unaccounted for. Keep these locals in your prayers.
Now, before I present all the information and all the
okay,
receipts,
you can stop that for a second. We haven't run into. To those people, I mean, I'm saying those people, the people we were with last night tell the same, they were right on the water. They tell the same story of how rapidly it came up and everything. So I want to go today when nobody really wants to go. I think we're going to have to go with weather manipulation. Is this, folks, is something bigger? Say, Coach Dave, there you are with all your conspiracy theories. Well, I'm telling you, there are people with got more sense than me talking about exactly what's going on. Spencer, if you could pull that map back up there again. And folks, ask yourself this very simple question. How does a hurricane gain strength as it moves over land? And again, as Mike Blakeman, who's sitting right here for the test, and of course, Gary Pierce is here, and Clay. Folks, the Appalachian Mountains, I mean, they're the Rockies, but they're high, man, they're high. And we're so far above sea level here that you wouldn't think that they've see a hurricane gets formed when moisture is pulled up off the ocean and it starts spinning. We know how that whole thing works. And when it hits ground, they break up. Well, these, for whatever reason, tended to gain strength as they move forward. They gain strength. Then ask yourself this. Where is FEMA? Where is the federal government? And Dale Socia could probably even talk about it better than me, but we know that when hurricanes hit, tornadoes hit, man, they are in there, boom, boom, boom. And I'm telling you, you don't see a FEMA thing anywhere down there. Now, we haven't been to Asheville, which is one of the hardest hit. Reason Asheville was hardest hit because it's one of the bigger areas. These are a lot of just small towns under at the foothills of the mountains, everywhere that you drive down through here. And so we don't see the organized federal relief that you would expect to see. Food drops, helicopters, yada yada yada. I'm not going to get into the details of why it's going on, but I want to show you some things today that really, really struck me. By the way, Spence, if you can show that map again, put that up there. This thing wasn't far from Ohio when you get right there. Did you guys ever think maybe we'd get a hurricane in Ohio? Well, look where Tennessee is. It ain't that much farther up till it's in Ohio. What the heck is going on? Well, we know what they call it. Fifth generational warfare. So Spencer, pull up, number six, and put it at the nine minute mark. Yeah, the 9 minute mark. I'm gonna show you a little bit here. Did we just show that? Go to the 25 minute mark on that one. Then go to the 25 minute mark. Right there. That's good. That's good. Go ahead and play that.
Not flooding anywhere.
You know what mine they're talking about, right?
No trees on power lines here. That's interesting.
Okay, Spence, you can cut it off. Point being here, this weather seemed to have been really, really, hate to say, use the term directed. It seems to have been directed and controlled somewhat. We know they can do that. I was going to bring that up today. We know they can control the weather. We know that. We saw what happened in Maui. And what's that mineral that they want here, Mike, that's buried under the ground?
Lithium.
The largest lithium mine in the world is right here in this area. And that guy just said, see, there's nothing here that because it was protected. Okay. Yeah, I know you guys think I'm kind of crazy. Let's go to number four. Go to number four. Because I want to explain again what we're seeing. What? Hang on, Spencer. I'm all over the place. Shame on me. Pull up. I didn't put that video in there. Where? Yeah, yes, I did. It says, where's FEMA? Put that video in there. Somebody a lot smarter than me. Douglas, what was his name? Whatever. Play this video. 1.5 speed. Sorry, folks. I'm a little hacked here this morning. I got a lot I'm trying to get to you. 1.5 speed. Senator Douglas McGregor.
Americans, I'm Colonel Douglas McGregor, CEO of Our Country, Our Choice, and I must tell you I am mad as hell. Mr. President, I urge you to direct your focus to the people of North Carolina. They deserve immediate assistance. Rescue helicopters should be dispatched, resources mobilized, and aid provided without delay. Our military, which is always ready to serve abroad, must also be ready to serve here at home. Our good countrymen and women are currently left to fend for themselves, while our government takes great care of illegal immigrants, criminal gang members, foreign governments, and, of course, lines the pockets of warmongers. I never thought I would see a day where our citizens are treated with almost complete contempt as we see today. To be frank, I'm furious, as we all should be. We're certainly grateful for our allies around the world, but we must ask ourselves, where is the priority for our own citizens? We have citizens contemplating suicide today in North Carolina, citizens without hope, citizens who despair. Countless hardworking families are without food, water, electricity, or connectivity, facing unimaginable challenges. It is unacceptable that while we allocate vast sums to foreign conflicts, our own people suffer in silence. Washington has no idea how upset the average American citizen is with the endless drain of cash and resources into foreign wars while our own citizens are suffering. Fort Bragg, now renamed Fort Liberty, is only 300 miles from Asheville, North Carolina, where thousands of Americans are coping with the washed-out roads and bridges, power outages, and the desperate need for clean water. Yet, as of this moment, no Army helicopters have been sent to rescue Americans, presumably because these aircraft are needed in the Middle East and Eastern Europe. At the same time, Mayorkas' Department of Homeland Security still had the funds to move 5% of Haiti's population all over the United States. The Department of Homeland Security now reports that its funds are too exhausted and unavailable to assist Americans in the path of Hurricane Helene. Too many Americans have been left behind by a negligent federal government for too long. On the one hand, there are unlimited funds for a Ukrainian government that has lost a war, and apparently limitless funds for Israel's new war. On the other hand, the Biden-Harris administration took more than $1 billion tax dollars originally allocated for American disaster relief and used it to provide services for illegal immigrants. Today, families struggling with horrific damage resulting from Hurricane Helene must cope with only $750 in support from Washington. It's time for us to critically assess the narratives we encounter. Are we truly being served by our government, or are we being misled into believing that our greatest threats lie beyond our borders? I urge each of you to engage in thoughtful discourse, to question what you hear, and to seek the truth rooted in our shared values. Imagine a different future where we redirect our efforts towards solving the pressing problems right here at home, a future where our resources are allocated to rebuilding our communities, providing better health care, and addressing the root causes of addiction. Let's ensure that our government is not just reactive, but proactive in helping its citizens in need. It is time to strengthen our commitment, first and foremost, to the American people. No more delays, no more excuses. It's bad enough that 76% of individual income taxes go to pay the interest on our sovereign national debt. If our government has one job, it's to provide for the security and well-being of the American people. Instead, they siphon our taxes, and they funnel to anyone and everyone but us. Americans, our country is on autopilot when it desperately needs leadership. Imagine for a moment wealthy parents who give their spoiled children keys to an expensive sports car. The children keep crashing the car and still get a new one after each accident. This may not be the best analogy, but it seems clear that the taxpayers are the parents and Washington is populated with spoiled children. It's time to stop replacing the sports car and instead replace the children in Washington. Thank you for listening. God bless you and these United States.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I want to show you something because we talked about this. By the way, I got my Coach Dave shirt. I'm going to wear that today as we're handing stuff out. Pull up number three, Wikipedia, fifth generation warfare. I talked about that last week or a month ago, whenever it was. I just want to reiterate. See, a lot of people would say reiterate again. You would never do that because when you reiterate, you don't do it again. You don't reiterate again. Sorry, just a little bit of English coming out here. So let me reiterate. Number three, Spence, can you get that up on the screen for us? Wikipedia. I just went to Wikipedia today because they're talking about fifth generational warfare, which is what we are engaged in. I'm going to try to open your eyes a little bit to that. Spencer, if you can make it a little bit bigger so I can pull it up on my own screen over here. Hang on, man. Sorry. I got to look away here to read it over here. It says fifth generation warfare is warfare that is conducted primarily through non-kinetic military action. What's kinetic action? Face-to-face shooting, okay? So this new generational warfare, fifth generational warfare, is not guns. It's such as social engineering. See if any of these buzzwords hit you with where we are today, okay? This fifth generation warfare is what? Social engineering, misinformation, cyber attacks, along with emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence and fully autonomous systems. Fifth generation warfare has been described by Daniel Abbott as a war of information and perception. Hey, Vinny, give me a boom. What kind of war is it? A generation of information and perception. There is no widely agreed upon definition of fifth generation warfare, and it has been rejected by some scholars, of course they would, who was one of the original theorists. The term, go down, scroll down, Spence. The term fifth general warfare, it's very short, was first used in 2003 by Robert David Steele. Following year, Lynn criticized the concept, arguing the fourth generation hadn't come in here. So go on down. So characteristics of fifth generational warfare, which is what I believe we're fighting with right now, says Alex B. Schmidt said the fifth general warfare is typified by an omnipresent battlefield. Was it just me or somebody said, man, they're hitting us from 1,000 different fronts. It's the weather one day, it's homosexuals the other day. It's just boom, it's the economy. This is fifth generational warfare. It's an omnipresent battlefield. And the fact that people engaged in it do not necessarily use military force, but instead employ a mixture of kinetic, meaning non-physical force. So what I'll put in the chat. You can go ahead and read all this down. So fifth generational warfare is nothing but distraction, change information, misinformation, and most of us. If you're not watching Coach Dave live, and you're living in America, you probably have already tuned out because you are already overwhelmed with everything that's going on. Look at all the disinformation going on with Kamala and Trump and Republicans good, Democrats bad. This is all by plan. Okay, I want to pull up one more, Spence, and then I'm going to open it up. Let me get. I'm sorry, folks, not my home studio here today. So pull up for me, fifth generational warfare explained. So this guy here, I just found this morning. I haven't done a lot of real in-depth. Scroll on down, Spence. We're going to go pretty quickly through this, and I'm going to put it in the chat. Can you make it a little bigger for me, or do I need to do it over here on my own? That's all right. Hey, friends, I'm in Clay's house. His computer system is a little bit different than mine, all right? So Clay, it's not that Spencer is doing something wrong. Clay's system is a little bit different. So I got to jump over here real quick and say, is that it? Fifth generation warfare explained. Okay. Took a minute for me to load. Okay, here we go. A guide to fifth generation warfare. It's probably on your screen. Okay, so what is it? Okay, go to that chart there right there. It says, what is 5GW? Right there, Spence. Good. So it says first generational warfare was spears against spears, ancient melee battle. And then first generational warfare ended when somebody showed up with muskets. All right? And so then the muskets, which is organized battle with gunpowder, That was a second generational warfare. And then it ended when they showed up with an idea of a blitzkrieg, with everybody attacking an area at a time. So then they moved from the blitzkrieg to third generational warfare. It was mechanized warfare focused on speed and maneuverability. That gave us terror. That was ended by terrorism, which now terrorism, you don't know where it's coming from. It's part of that fifth generation warfare. And then the fourth one is decentralized warfare, which is led by primarily state actors. What? Decentralized. Man, that was terrorism. And that was ended by the mobile internet network and its effects. So now we're in the fifth generation, and it is what? Information and perception. That's why you hear so much, you turn on the TV, they talk about disinformation and misinformation, because the fifth generational warfare is informational. That's what it's about. It's a battle of information. Okay, scroll down a little bit, Spence. So here's right there. Keep going. I'm looking on my screen right there. Go ahead. 5G war. There we go. Stay right there. Misinformation. So here are the weapons of it. Spence, I don't know if you're at the same spot that I am. I don't know how I make that screen bigger. Go on down. At the top of my screen, it says misinformation data driven. There it is, right there. You just went by it. There you go. So here is how it is. The generational war, I'm going to get off this here in a second. I'm trying to paint a picture for you, okay? So we understand what's going on. This misinformation is data-driven. Think about how many times you've been watching on TV, and that's what they're talking about, misinformation and disinformation. And they're doing this on purpose so that you feel like you have no solid ground informationally upon which you can stand. Oh, that's not true. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, yada, you get it with me? The next one is cyber attacks. Why are cyber attacks? Because it breaks the lines, chains of communication, and forces you to go other places to look for information. Then social engineering, and then social media manipulation. Watch what's going on. That's why they're banning people on Facebook and banning people on Twitter, except it's not even Twitter anymore. And blocking all this. This is all part of the fifth generational warfare, because they want to get their information out, and they want to do, above all things, confusion. So mass surveillance, open source intelligence, commercially available social media analytics, open source and gray market data, commercially available satellite imagery, this is all the stuff that they have access to in this fifth generational warfare. Now, I'm going to shut up and put that in the chat, Spencer, because folks, you would do well to spend some time on this sheet that we're just presenting right here, because it's going to really open your eyes. You're going to say, oh. Now I get it. So, Mike, you mean transgenderism isn't about helping trannies? No, it's about the confusion that they're trying to bring to the average everyday American, not understanding what's going on, what they're supposed to do. And so you get somebody running, it's going to be a Supreme Court justice, and you ask her, what's a woman? She can't answer. Why can't she answer? It's by design, folks. Because they're trying to do everything they can. They, being Satan and his minions, are doing everything they can to destroy truth. Do you understand? You understand? Truth and manipulation of the truth. Who was I talking about the other day? I know the Bible's true. Maybe it was on the show. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, Psalms, that evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. So let me say it again. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. That's in the Bible. Where did that truism come? Would anybody out there disagree with me that you put vile men in positions of authority and evil's everywhere? That's a principle. Those kind of principles are all throughout the scripture. But what have they told us? How have they attacked the battle? Through fifth generational warfare. Disinformation, misinformation. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, say, Coach, where are you going today? Well, this thing is so massive, friends. This is so massive. So massive. Can somebody explain to me why? One more thing. Why here? Why North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia? Why? Because that's the heart of Appalachia. I was going to pull up the Melungeons. Maybe I'll get to that later. I want to hear from you guys. Hear what you guys have to say. And yes, by the way, we're all heading out today. We're going to another area. And yes, we're still raising funds. And look, I got to be careful. I feel with most of you, you're like a family. but there are infiltrators here. So sometimes I got to watch what I say. But I want you to know that the money that you're giving to us, we're putting in the hands of people who desperately need that money. Okay. That's all. You could give us $1 million and it wouldn't begin to scratch the surface. It wouldn't begin to, it's just, 30% of all bridges in this area are out. 30% of all bridges are out. So think about those people who are clear up in the mountains and their bridge out of the mountains is out. How do you get out of there? We were driving through the mountains yesterday and we were saying, what do you walk through here? You walk down through this woods? How do you get out of here? And so there are people still trapped up there and no federal government help coming. Come on in, Julie.
Good morning, Coach. God bless you guys for going down there. I can't even imagine.
It's fun. It's actually fun. It's discouraging, but fun. It's good fellowship, and we can make a difference. Go ahead.
But what God's bringing together, do the devastation, bring unity again. But real quick, I sent something to Michelle about Tenpenny, what she has. She did a video, and it got, like you said, fact-checked, saying it was false information. But I don't know if you have a chance to see it, but it's really good. So thanks.
Hey, Julie, let me ask you a question. Come on, folks. I'm not just asking Julie. I want you to think. How long ago did we start hearing fact check? That's a modern thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you say that it really began to start pop up maybe around COVID, maybe a little bit earlier than that? But fact check. Well, who's doing the fact checking, right? And so we know that this same group that's in charge of all this manipulation that's going on, they're the ones who created the idea of fact checking, and they're the ones who are doing the fact checking. How about some Christian scholars doing some fact checking? Well, they can't because the Bible's fake, right? The Bible's fake, and let the fact checkers tell you how fake that Bible is. Come on in, Craig.
So Coach, have you ever been to Asheville, North Carolina, walk around the city?
I don't think I have, Craig.
Okay, let me connect some dots here for you.
But hang on a second, folks. So we haven't been to Asheville yet. We're about an hour and 3 hours. Yeah, it's usually about an hour and 10 minutes from here, and it takes about 3 hours to get there because the bridges that are out and all that kind of stuff. So it's not like driving just across the street. Although we'd sure love to go. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, Spencer at 707, I put a link in. Can you click on that so people can see the article? Hopefully they'll click on it and download it. Okay, so this is from Dearman. Asheville is one of the most occultic places in the United States.
I did see that, yeah.
Dearman's talents, right? Okay, she says she's an author, she's a high priestess, a diviner, a divinator, herbalist. She also co-sponsors persecuted pagan Wiccan inmates in 612 prisons. She was a psychic. She became publicly outed a witch at 13. What's Taylor Swift's number? Isn't that 13, I believe?
I believe it is.
The high priestess says she met her partner. So right there, you get a little bit right there. And at a national, okay, you have Land of Legends. They have a national witch gathering at what? Lake Lure in 1993.
Which
wasn't it Lake Lure, the one with the dam? And wasn't it overspilling? And wasn't it flooding over? I mean, wasn't there a days of Noah when God just brought judgments of floods against the demonic and stuff like that?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Okay. And so they had a year-long witch wedding fest in Tennessee. Let's see. She works constantly. If you go, you can't walk through downtown Asheville, but I did several years ago, Coach, about 10 years ago. You know why I was in Asheville? Because there's a Billy Graham training center, The Cove. The Cove is in Asheville. Wow. And where did Billy Graham, where's his home? Well, it's in Montreat. Well, and I like Billy Graham. Don't get me wrong. I'm not smacking him, and we've talked about the different things, okay? What I'm trying to talk to you is there's a spiritual thing going on here.
Yeah, sure is.
He lives in Montreat. Well, where's Montreat? Well, it's right next to Black Mountains. Well, what are the Black Mountains? Well, let me read what I put in the chat. Okay, remember you take down the high places? Remember where the gods rest? They always rest in the high places.
Right.
So you made a remark to me once. He says, Craig, you're standing on the highest place here from here to the Rocky Mountains, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in Montreat, it's called Black Mountain. Okay, and Black Mountains are a mountain range in western North Carolina in the southeast United States. They're part of the Blue Ridge and Southern Appalachian Mountains. The Black Mountains are the highest mountains on the eastern United States.
Wow.
So guess what? That means that that would be the highest location in the eastern United States, isn't
high
it?
Places, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so does Satan take out Satan? Maybe he does.
No.
He takes out Satan.
No, the Bible says he doesn't do that.
Okay, I'm not saying he can't. Or is there something else going on here? I'm just asking the questions.
Amen, amen, amen. And you know what's really kind of funny, Craig, because not funny, we use that term loosely. This would be the real spiritual belt. This is the Bible Belt, is it not, folks? Isn't this the Bible Belt? And to think that we have all this demonic activity going on in the Bible Belt, would this be the front lines? Front line. Look, I got to show you this because I'll get you all in here, I promise. Hey, Spence, pull up there. I sent you an article on Melungeons. I'm a Melungeon, by the way. That's why I found it interesting to go there. Let me go to my own website. You guys know what a Melungeon is? Of course you don't hear anything about it. I think it was a standalone email, Spence. There you are. There you are. I got to find mine too. There it is. Okay, again, folks, I got to read it to you because I can't. Melungeons are one of the most fascinating, mysterious groups in Appalachian history. A people whose origins, remember now, tolerance, diversity, talking about racism, all that kind of stuff. Listen to the Melungeons, which is my bloodline, by the way. And they're the most fascinating, mysterious groups in Appalachian history. People whose origins have long been the subject of speculation and folklore, centered primarily in the Appalachian regions of Tennessee, southwestern Virginia, eastern Kentucky. The Melungeons have been a part of the cultural landscape since the 1800s. For centuries, the Melungeons were viewed as an enigma. They were tri-racial, multi-ethnic group whose ancestry include European, African, Native Americans, and it doesn't say it here, but Jewish, right? The original melting pot, Mike. The original melting pot was here with the Melungeons. I get goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps, right? Because we are racism, tolerance, diversity, spread. You know, everybody going their own way. And the Melungeons, they just got together and married each other and they don't even talk about it anymore. Theories about the origins of the Melungeons have ranged from plausible to the fantastic. Some claim they were descendants of the Portuguese or Spanish explorers, or they came from Turkish, or they were Jewish, or they were Moorish sailors. Is this just a picture of God's family just being all mixed together? In this day when we're after pure bloodline Jews, all this kind, could this be, I'm going to get me in trouble. Could this be God's chosen people right here, all mixed together in the Bible Belt? In the Bible Belt. Is that something? I'm not, put it in the chat so they can read it on their own. It's fascinating. I'm a Melungeon. My grandparents, they crawled out of the hills way down in southern Ohio. Many of you watching up in the middle, you're Melungeon. Mixed blood. If we can understand that we as whitey are mixed blood, how come we can't get it that the Jews are mixed blood? What is wrong with it? Do you understand? I'm part Jew according to the Melungeon thing. Why? Because the Lord said there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no male. I'm just put them in a pot and just stir them up, and it became the Bible Belt. Is that unbelievable? Come on in, Kevin.
Coach, I put the 1 minute link in the chat for the producer to play from Dane Wigginton, showing how they were able to steer the storm using Doppler radar array. Would you have him play?
Yeah, play that. Hey, folks, they can control storms. This is not tinfoil hat. This is not conspiracy theory. They can control. I'm almost cussed. What do you think chemtrails are? What do you think chemtrails are? Go ahead and play that.
Was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just the result of natural processes and climate patterns, or was it manipulated? The circular blue flashes seen in this video are frequency transmissions from the NEXRAD network of transmitter installations. All available science evidence makes clear that atmospheric frequency transmissions can and do have a repelling effect on air masses, especially if and when the air masses have been seeded with electrically conductive nanoparticles. The brighter the blue flash.
Freeze it. So they put these particles in the air through chemtrails, and then they stimulate them electrically. Go ahead.
From a frequency transmission installation, the more pronounced and powerful the repelling effect on any air mass or storm in the vicinity will be. Where there are no blue flashes, there is no transmission, thus no repelling effect, thus no resistance for a migrating storm. Translation: a migrating storm will be hindered from moving toward frequency transmissions and will easily migrate in a direction with no transmissions. So again, I ask, was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just an act of nature, or was it engineered? You decide.
Wow.
Coach, get this, okay? I listen to phone calls of people calling into different radio shows living in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. They all said the same thing. For 3 days prior, they had never seen such heavy chemtrail spraying ever before.
Well, you know, we talked to a guy last night. I think I had it on video. He said when that water, I told you the water in the creek went up 30 feet. It was 30 feet down. Right now it's 30 feet down. He said it's still a little bit high. And that water raised 30 feet right in front of his house. And he said it was amazing. First wave came through. And they couldn't believe how high it was. The first wave it came through, and they're thinking, wow, what the heck's going on? And then said about an hour later, then came this second wave, just like you would see on the beach. Here came the second wave, and it just demolished everything that was in its way. Something is going on here. Fifth generational warfare. Alan, is it Alan? Come on in. Proverbs 18. Come on in.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Good morning.
Morning.
1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And so this is what I think our prayer needs to be for the church, because there are too many people in the church that are asleep at the wheel.
Amen.
You know, we're funding this war in Israel, and yet their economy is better than ours.
I want to fund the Melungeons. Go ahead.
You know, their economy is better than ours. So how does that make any sense that we're funding them?
It doesn't make any sense. Other than something crazy going on, right? Fifth generational warfare designed to break America. Do you get it? Do you get it yet? Fifth generational warfare designed to destroy America, friends. If they've tried it without bombs, they've tried it with everything else. The only way they can bring us down is to bring us down financially. Open your eyes. Paul Webb, good to hear you, Paul. I haven't heard you, but good. Glad you're there.
Hey, Coach. What you were talking about earlier, you know, I don't know if you've seen reports, but they're now talking about another hurricane coming to Florida.
Coming across the other way, right? Coming across, yes.
And that BlackRock just signed a deal with to mine lithium in that area. So
Clay, I'm sorry, Clay. So is this just conspiracy? Folks, are we just conspiracy nuts? When we're looking, the fifth generation is all about disinformation. And when are you going to come to the realization that we are not the conspiracy theorists? We're the ones that are right. They are the conspiracy theorists trying to destroy what we know is going on, what they're telling us is going on. What behind the scenes, when you do a deep dive, know it's going on. And then they come in with the misinformation and the disinformation saying what? Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe your eyes. Believe us. That's fifth generation warfare. That's what we're dealing with. Laura Ann, come on in.
Well, I'm sure this was Holy Spirit inspired. You know how they always have to put everything in front of us to tell us what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all about this climate change, right?
We're getting it, aren't we? They're giving it to us.
Oh, yeah. But they are. They're changing the climate.
Yes, they are.
It's climate control is climate change. So they're changing the... You know, it's right there, and they're telling us that they're doing
it. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. For some reason, the Luciferians like to do that. So the climate is changing, isn't it?
It is. Exactly. So there you go. The climate is changing. Well, I mean, if you live in Chicago or like Ohio, you can experience all four seasons in one day in July.
Amen.
So, you know, that's the Midwest blessing. But You know, but they are. It is climate change. They are changing the climate. They're the ones changing the climate.
That's right. We've been watching these chemtrails for years and years and years, to the point that you go to the average person on the street, they don't even see them. And you start talking to them about chemtrails, and they'll say, "Oh no, those are just chemtrails. So I said, "Well, then if those are just chemtrails, you have any idea how many planes are flying over your head daily? How come you're not seeing these chemtrails from every plane? Why is it only certain planes at certain times?" And then what do? Then they scratch their head like Stan Laurel and just kind of move on with the subject. They don't want to look at what's exactly right in front of them. Debbie, come on in.
Yes. First of all, I got a notice that Helene has just been upgraded to a Category 3 hurricane. So, I mean, Milton is. Milton, so we're going to have a Helene 2.0. No telling what's going to happen there. And also, Kamala's husband is behind BlackRock and Vanguard as one of the biggest investors in the company that is the lithium company that's behind all that.
I've heard that too, Debbie. But here's something else that I think's going on. I'm starting to think like them a little bit. I think what's going on is there's a big push against election reform, right? No more mail-in ballots, on same day, in person, yada, yada. Well, can't you see now? They're going to say, "Oh, my goodness, all of these people, they can't vote. All of those MAGA Republicans, they can't vote. We need mail-in ballots. We need a month." Do you understand how they're taking that same argument and now throwing it in our face so that we think it's a good idea? Yeah, that is good. Yeah, we do want those people in Nashville to be able to vote. Yeah. See it, folks? I'm telling you that the devil is so shrewd, man. He's so good.
He is, but you know, somehow through every crisis is a chance for us to see how the Lord works.
That's right.
His miraculous ways.
That's right, Debbie. He ain't going to win.
That's right.
Randy, come on in, man. And while that's going on, Randy's out staking. He ain't giving up. He's out there staking more and more counties. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach. At some point, we probably ought to talk about the media, what we're going to do, because we need to get this done before the election. This is critical timing, and it's very important. We'll get it done. But, Coach, I want to make a comment. I've done some really deep dives on post-World War II, what happened, what actually the governments did, and the creation of the United Nations and all that. But if you'll notice, Coach, and this is a great connection if people can see it, is that when we did Operation Paperclip, which started right after the war, it was another name, but they changed it to Paperclip. They brought all those German scientists who were all working on nefarious, really, and they had their lives online. You know, they had to or die. So a lot of them were doing nefarious studies and research with not only the weather, Coach, but with all kinds of the chemtrails, all the stuff we're talking about. So guess what? You see, Coach, you move all of them over here in the United States, not all of them, most of them went to South America, but most of them came here. Truman protected them, and they brought them here. So I want to show you this connection, Coach. Everywhere they're going, they put them in New Mexico out there at White Sands is where, guess what? You see the alien crash, 1947. The orbs all began, basically. They come out of nowhere again. You see the connection with the weather, 1947, the first this hurricane they manipulated, this Hurricane Sable, which you showed last week. So, Coach, all of this is connected to this nefarious research. And who's doing it, Coach? It's not just the U.S. government. It's the United Nations. Mm. It's a world order. Coach, when this Hurricane Helene started, France and Germany both sent planes, and I can show you the documented research. They watched them. They went into this hurricane when it came off of Africa, and they seeded it and kept it coming, and they brought it right over here. They wanted to make sure the timing was right and everything was right. And Coach, it's not easy to connect these dots. You don't have to even be a conspiracy person. Just use common sense.
So Randy, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Folks, here's what I want you to to vision in your eye. Hey, Spencer, see if, as I'm talking right now, pull up that video again of the flood damage, of the waters moving and knocking stuff. We saw bridges. We saw bridges, huge bridges, just pushed aside like, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. So I want you to keep in mind this, about this. You drive up into those hills, up in those Appalachian Mountains, where we were yesterday, and you imagine, I saw that one of these areas, not making this up, got 78 inches of rain. Did you hear that? 78 inches of rain. Can you imagine the speed with which that water running down out of those mountains accelerated into the creeks? Can you even in your mind conceive what that must have looked like when that rain came from the top of those hills? You know, water seeks its own level, right? And it came rushing down those little creeks and wiped out everything that was in its way and got on down into the flatlands. And when it got down into the flatlands, then it just went everywhere. Destruction was everywhere. You would not believe the thousands of huge, huge trees laying along the road, just uprooted and just laying along the road. The idea of how powerful that water is and was, and to understand that they knew that they dumped all that water. See, they didn't dump that water in downtown Charlotte. They didn't dump that water down in Nashville, Knoxville. No, they dumped it up in the mountains, because when it hit those mountains, it gained speed, it gained steam, it came rushing down out of, and magnified not only the water but the force of the water to do massive, massive multiple destruction everywhere we went. Now we can sit around here and say, well, you know, God controls the weather. Well, he evidently has some competition, because somebody else is certainly trying to control the weather. And what we have to do, look, the darker it gets, the more we have to speak the truth. Folks, you have got to talk to people like we're talking here today. You got to tell your friends water manipulation. You got to make some of the arguments that I just made, the speed of the water coming down out of the mountains, the mudslides, the knocking. Have we ever in our lives, they're calling it, somebody told me yesterday, well, they said it's a 100-year flood. I said, no chit. 100-year? How about a Noah? Hadn't been one like this since Noah. Folks, this stuff just doesn't happen. See, but the average person, if we don't understand fifth generation warfare and what's going on, the average person is just going to think, well, just a big old hurricane got stuck up there, man. It just poured and poured. It came in so rapidly and it built so rapidly and it got stronger the more it moved into the mountains. That does not happen. Doesn't happen. Fifth generational warfare. The battle is over the truth. And Jesus told us that you shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, it's going to make you free. It's going to make you free. So I'm going to sign off here, and I'm not going to stay in the after show very long. You still can contribute. Hey, don't, folks. Like, if you got a good charity, give to that good charity. But please don't give to the Red Cross. And don't give to the Salvation Army. And here's what we tell you we will do. And I got these guys here with me. We are going to get the money in the hands of small mom and pop churches, whatever, outreaches, whatever. We're going to get that money to them. We're not going to get it to Samaritan's Purse. God bless them for what they do. We're not going to get it to the Red Cross. We're going to drive around. We're going to figure out a way that we can set up where just average, everyday mom and pops can come to us. Imagine if you would, in your house right now, if tomorrow morning, everything in your house was gone, everything gone, not just gone, washed away. Places where you got money stashed, you got your credit card stashed, your checkbook and all valuable, boom, gone, obliterated, gone. Millions of people like that down there. I don't know, only the Lord can make them right, man. I don't know how the Lord can make them right. But sure does seem like judgment's at our door, doesn't it? Huh? God bless you. You can go to CoachDaveLive.com and support us. Donate there, CoachDaveLive.com. And I promise you this, we will spend it. And we'll get it in the hands of the people who need it. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.
Amen.